Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you, Lord, for blessing this meeting today. Thank you for giving us discernment and wisdom against our enemies, especially the old flesh. And thank you, Lord, that you've already given us the victory. We count upon your sacrifice on the cross, Jesus. We praise you and we thank you for it. Amen. Okay, we're going to do Preserved from the Beast, number 6. And this first revelation I'm going to share with you is given to Claire Pinar on 3/2/21. And we called it Man, Child, and Bride Serve the Food of the Chosen. Amen. All right. I dreamed Rion and I were in a new white home. And we were fitting new communication devices in our study. We were in a new estate that was previously reserved for the elderly, but we had been given a new home in this estate. Her thought about this is it represents this white home being sanctified and separated from the world. And what I've thought about this was the old elderly estate represents the apostate church where the old man is allowed to live. But God's elect have been given a new tabernacle in a new estate on our promised land. And I also think that the White House could represent sanctification and dominion, the White House. Okay, one of the brethren from larger UBM, Claire said, was hooking up our connectivity. When he tried to use Wi-Fi and Bluetooth to connect our wireless keyboards, I said, "I don't think we'll be using that. It doesn't do our children any good." He looked frustrated and said, "How can you not have Wi-Fi?" And I gently replied, "We just hook it all up to the main power cable." "And it's much healthier that way." "Yeah, why take the middleman's word for it? Go back to the original, right?" Rion knows the details, she said. She said this might be alluding to the saints who need to plug in to the ultimate power source. And that would be Father God through His Holy Spirit. Instead of relying on man's ways for communication and staying up to date and connected. Well, true, some well-meaning Christians try to steer us towards man's methods for salvation in some form, but it's not healthy for our spirit man and our fruit of Christ in us. We go directly to the main power source, Jesus, for deliverance and provision for all of our needs. We don't need intermediaries to tell us what He said. You know what I'm talking about? Why not just read what He said? And of course, true teachers today, all they do is point out what He said. They don't, go off on their tangents and try to interpret everything He said in their with their carnal glasses, right? Then Rion and I were needed in a communal dining hall. So we walked to that area. Well, I believe communal here is meaning the larger body of Christ, which is in need of our understanding. It had white floors and stainless steel serving areas, and it was very clean. And I believe this represents what they have available to them. The Word, which is clean, well prepared. It's in our Bibles with the best teachers available there, and all of us, but often is ignored. This is available to all of us. Anybody can pick up their Bible, and the Holy Spirit will teach them. Amen. There were old folks all around in the dining area, but they weren't eating. They were just sitting around chatting and gossiping. Sometimes people believe they already know the truth, so they cease to eat, meaning devour the Word. But we have to continue gaining knowledge and faith to come into Christ's image. They don't believe that. They believe their leaders know it all, and that's all they need. Let them tell me how it is. But the Bible says, seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling, which means, of course, plug into the original, right? And as I walked through the entrance doorway, I dodged a huge cloud of vapor. And I remember thinking in my dream that this is strange. I can see the vapor, but they cannot. They're going to walk right into it and die. Oh, that's dangerous. Well, I believe the vapor symbolizes that we only have a short time to learn and bear fruit before we are gone. They don't understand that we're actually here to continue to bear fruit until we leave this place. James 4 and 13 through 14 says, come now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into this city and spend a year there and trade and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Tomorrow isn't guaranteed, right? What is your life? You are a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So the vapor represents the short time you have left before you're gone. Okay. And, of course, this is a message to these older people who think they've known it all for years, and that's all they need to do, sit down on a pew and wait for the rapture. That's ridiculous. We're here to come into the image of the Jesus Christ. If you're not walking and talking and doing what he was doing, you haven't arrived. All those who remain in bondage to their old nature do not seek the truth of the Word, which is the spiritual food that they need to come out from under the curses of this world and into the life of Christ. Then we met with a lady who immediately got the elderly, meaning the old man, to make a circle around us. And she said to us, tell us how you came to be here. Reminds you of how the Pharisees tried to test Jesus in front of the people. You know, it didn't ever work out good for them. They quit doing that. Tell us how you came to be here. And Rion and I were very humble in stating that the Lord had provided us with this opportunity to be in the estate, and we were excited for Rion to be preaching the gospel there. Then a lady with her silver hair dyed dark brown with red highlights said, don't you be bringing your Jesus in here. We all get along just fine without Jesus. We were taken aback, but did not stop talking about Jesus. They wanted to know where our children, representing our spiritual fruit, were. And we said, at home, waiting for us. Our citizenship is in heaven, in our real home, Philippians 3 and 20. But our fruit is what's going to judge us, right? Matthew 13:8. Others fell upon the good ground and yielded fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Amen. By your fruit you shall know them. All right? By their fruit you shall know them. We moved along to where one could receive the food. Well, that's where those who are hungry for more of God's word would be. Right? A girl I remember from when I was in the second grade was there, and she was older than me, and I could see that she remembered me too. Her name is Shelley, which means dweller on the clearing near the ledge. Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. She greeted me and said, "Child of light, I remember you." My name means brilliance or bright light. We chatted, and she introduced me to her husband, who was a beautiful, get this, Middle Eastern man who was about 33 years of age. And, of course, her note is, all the members of the bride are married to Jesus. Amen. He had kind eyes and a lovely smile, and he had a little baby about 18 months on his hip. He said to me, "There are so many of these ancient ones here. They never eat anything. They just sit around." They were serving the food in the dining hall, and they told us we had only 15 minutes left to receive our food. In other words, eat like a hog and get out of here, right? And as the dining hall was closing until lunchtime, only then did I realize that it was breakfast time, 9:15 a.m. to be exact. Well, the dead churches are satisfied with too little. They just eat and run, right? But they don't even think about what they're eating, right? And the time is short. We must get as much of the word in us as we can before the darkest of days descends and the tribulation begins. John 9:4 says, "We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." As I stood in the line, I was the only one there as Rion was speaking to the older people who were seated at little square tables all around the dining room. Then two or three younger women, which must be very positive in this regard, came into the dining hall, rushing frantically to get breakfast to go, so they could drop their children off at school. They asked me why I was not rushing, and I said, "I homeschool. We don't have to rush, as we have our own schedule." And they were gobsmacked. That's a term we don't use much over here in the States. They had believed up until that point that they needed to use the established institutions to mature their fruit. They asked many questions. They started smiling and nodding in agreement and were excited at the possibility of raising and maturing their fruit another way. The older women overheard me and were really rude, saying that we're just a bunch of dumb homeschoolers and that we were raising fanatics. Well, you know, that's the opinion of some people, but I tell you, homeschoolers excel in knowledge. Excel. And the contests that have been put on prove that. But anyway, going on, the apostate church goers are very worldly minded, and they they persecute anyone that has a conscience toward sanctification, and all God's elect will come out from among them and follow the man-child and the bride's example. Like these young ones here, they can still be moldable here, you know, obviously. I don't think I replied to the older woman, but turned away from them, older women, but turned away from them. Then an older man came walking in through the door, and he sat down with Rion, and they were chatting. My stepmom came in too, and she had no idea who I was. It was like she'd forgotten I ever existed. She sat with the ladies who were less rude to me, but still did not think we were correct in either proselytizing or homeschooling our children. You need to homeschool your fruit. You need to feed your fruit. Feed it. The spiritual man only grows on the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Amen. The stepmother represents, I believe, the handmaid and not the free woman. We are children of the free woman. We are to be children of the free woman. Galatians 4 and 21 through 31 says this, "Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?" You know, many people who are in religion and call it Christianity are under a law, and it's the law of their religion. They pay attention to what their religion says. They don't pay attention to what the Word says. If they read the Word and it's contrary, they just put the Word down. That's what they do. That's what you call an idol, right? "Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the handmaid and one by the free woman. Howbeit, the son by the handmaid is born after the flesh, but the son by the free woman is born through promise." This is how we bear fruit, through the promises. Walking by faith, not considering that we have arrived in the flesh, right? We can consider that in the spirit by faith, but not considering. "Not that I am already perfect," Paul said, "but I press on toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus," right? "Which things contain an allegory, for these women are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, bearing children unto bondage, which is Hagar." So you see, a lot of Christians are Hagar Christians. "Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to the Jerusalem that now is, for she is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for more are the children of the desolate than of her that hath the husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit." Now we can see that here in this dream, right? Amen. "And so also it is now. Howbeit, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the handmaid and her son, for the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of a handmaid, but of the free woman." Amen. And so be free. Amen. "Then I woke up and asked the Lord for a word by faith at random, and I received Lamentations 5 and 5. Our pursuers are upon our necks. We are weary and have no rest." And I agreed with the Lord that all of the characters in the dream were pursuing us, but what about Rion and I and those behind the serving counter? And I then received John 21:16 by faith at random with my finger on the words, "And he said, take care of my sheep. Yes. These are the only people that are qualified to feed the sheep, not the status quo religious leaders, right? Here's the complete verse. He saith unto him again a second time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Tend my sheep. Amen. Now here's another one given to Claire on 3:26:21. And we called it Much Bread Wasted by Selfish Fleshly Christians. This is true. I dreamed I was going away. I had about 3 days to get ready, and I could not take anything with me. My name, Claire, means brilliant and is representative of the bride who cannot take anything into the wilderness with her. She will be provided for and nourished by the man-child. Yes. And I think the 3 days here represents the time of death, burial, and resurrection. See, we go through this process, and our baptism is a type of this, right? We're receiving it by faith when we're baptized, right? So these 3 days represent this progress in our life of death, burial, and resurrection, so that we can bear fruit. The resurrection life is our fruit. Also, the morning of the 3,000-year day is when the man-child returns and the 7-year tribulation period begins. The first fruits will be ready by this time. Hosea 6:1-3. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. Let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning. He will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. And of course, the latter rain is coming on the morning of the third day, right? The third day he will raise us up. And Claire went on to say, I was not in my usual house, but was in another white house, and I was giving everything I owned away to other people. And she said, we are not in our real homes now. Everything is temporary compared to our eternal abode in and with Jesus. Yes, amen. So we have to lose our worldly life to gain our heavenly life in Christ. And this reminds me of the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the time period that coincides with the 7-day/year of the Feast of Trumpets. Both of these are 7 days that represent 7 years. And when many people believe that the Lord will return, that's when many people think the Lord will return. And it is true. It represents the fruit of death, burial, and resurrection through the 7-day/years of the tribulation period. And the Feast of Tabernacles represents the 7 years of tribulation where the Israelites had to dwell in temporary booths for 7 days before they tore them down and went to their permanent home. And their temporary booths is talking about this body. And on the 8th day, which is the great and terrible day of the Lord, when the ark lifts off, is when they receive their new body, their permanent home, on the 8th day. Amen. I had a very large white Hessian bag in my very neat and white and freshly painted shed. In the bag were about 12 beautiful loaves of fresh bread, as well as yeast, and a 10-kilogram bag of strong baker's flour. I knew I could not take it with me, but I knew many who'd be able to use it and eat it. And she says, the bread is the word we have in us. Amen. and I believe 12 represents the governmental authority and the foundation of God's temple. 12 is the number, is a significant number to God, and there were 12 patriarchs and 12 tribes in Israel and 12 disciples that Jesus chose to be the leadership for the New Testament church, etc. So these 12 loaves of fresh bread is what people need to eat. A male friend was standing there, and I said to him, "Here, you can take this bread to Joni." In the dream, his wife was a blonde woman named Joni, even though in real life he is married to a brunette by a different name. Joni means God is gracious. This man represents the apostate ministers out there that aren't feeding the sheep. Why would she have to give him the bread, right? Supposed to be a leader, she gave him the bread. And the Lord is gracious to extend to us his word, but many have no desire to partake of it. It's true. They snuff at it. They are satisfied with the old life. They don't want to lose their life. They know that eating this bread would cause them to have to change, and they don't want to have to change. So anyway, he took the bread, and then I came back 3 days later, and I looked inside the Hessian bag. The bread was spoiled, and there were little mites and creeping bugs crawling out of the bag. I said, "Oh, come on, man. You're not supposed to hold on to it. You're supposed to use it and give it out. We are supposed to get our manna every day. In other words, partake of the word of God and not leave any remaining until morning. Otherwise, it will spoil," right? Meaning, if you don't get today's word today, it will be lost. You lost your chance to feed your spiritual man today. And once it's lost, you won't feed your spiritual man with that day's manna, right? Exodus 16:16-20 says, "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather ye of it," that is the manna, "every man according to his eating, an omer a head, according to the number of your persons, shall you take it, every man, for them that are in his tent." And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they measured it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said unto them, "Let no man leave of it until morning." In other words, you have to eat your bread today. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and became foul, and Moses was wroth with them. Yep, even what you do have will spoil if you save it up and you're not getting your manna today, right? The same principle is here in Matthew 25:22-30. "And he also that received the 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Lo, I have gained other 2 talents. His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will set thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.' He also that had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou didst not sow, and gathering where thou didst not scatter.'" In other words, this person evidently thought that they were doing it themselves. "And I was afraid, and went away, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast thine own. But his Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I did not scatter.'" That's a repulsive revelation, right? Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the bankers, and at my coming I should have received back mine own with interest. And of course we do sow the seed out there, and it bears fruit in many places. And when the Lord comes back, we've got fruit to show. Take ye away therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath the 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given. Everybody that's got fruit, bearing fruit with what they've got, they'll get more. He shall have in abundance, but from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away. If you're not doing anything with what the Lord gave you, think about that book. You know, think about it. While you're doing so many other things that seem more important but have nothing to do with eternal life. And cast ye out the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Lord never called the worldly people his servants. He is talking about his people. Then he came closer and tried to passionately kiss me. I was disgusted with him for doing that, and said, I love you like a brother. I am not attracted to you. I am married and in love. He represents the fleshly, selfish Christians that hold on to teachings for their personal gain instead of freely sharing the gospel with others. Yes, and they think that the people are their own. They are trying to steal the people from Christ. They take authority over the people. They don't lead them to Christ. They don't lead them to be disciples of Christ, right? These men are full of lust and lasciviousness, trying to seduce people away from the real, true Jesus with their lascivious doctrines that allow people to waste the bread of the Word by telling them that they have to accept Jesus as their personal Savior, and that's it. Sit down, wait for the rapture. 2 Peter 2:10-22, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh. Yeah, like 17 airplanes. Walk after the flesh in the lusts of defilement, and despise dominion. The true dominion. The Pharisees despised the dominion that Jesus had been given over them, although God proved it and showed it. Daring, self-willed, they tremble not to rail at dignities, whereas angels through greater and might, though greater in might and power, bring not a railing judgment against them before the Lord. But these, as creatures without reason, born mere animals to be taken and destroyed, railing in matters whereof they are ignorant. You know, they all think that they're right, and they all think they got it right in Bible school, like the Pharisees did, and they are not going to listen to what comes out of heaven, right? Shall in their destroying surely be destroyed. Yes, we know people that that's all they do is go out to destroy people. And he said they will surely be destroyed. Suffering wrong as a hire of wrongdoing. Men that count it pleasure to revel in the daytime, spots and blemishes. Yep, running around trying to seduce people and seduce women and get caught at it time after time after time. Yep, claiming that they're somebody, claiming that they can judge other people. Yeah. Reveling in their deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unsteadfast souls, having a heart exercised in covetousness. Yes, they're a bunch of thieves. They're so covetous they can't stand it. Children of cursing, forsaking the right way, they went astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the hire of wrongdoing. In other words, he was bribed by gain, just gain. But he was rebuked for his own transgression. A dumbass spake with a man's voice and stayed the madness of the prophet. These are springs without water, mists driven by a storm, for whom the blackness of darkness has been reserved. For uttering great swelling words of vanity, they entice in lusts of the flesh by lasciviousness. In other words, by giving people a license to do what they want to do instead of become a servant of Christ, right? Or a servant of the Word. By lasciviousness, those who are just escaping from them that live in error, promising them liberty while they themselves are bondservants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he also brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world, now let me tell you, he is talking about Christians here, after they've escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The last state is become worse with them than the first. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. The whole faction fits well in this text and this word right here, this verse right here. It has happened to them according to a true proverb, a dog turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that it washed to wallowing in the mire. Rion pulled up a brand new dark blue SUV, representing heavenly. It was very fancy indeed compared to our normal silver van. He'd received it as a gift. We did not buy it. I got into the front passenger seat and we were headed north to the airport. We were excited to be leaving. I would be too. Rion represents the man-child, as his name means little king. And he is coming to take his perfect bride to the wilderness. Amen. I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random and received 1 Samuel 6:17-18 with my finger on trespass offering. And these are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned for a trespass offering unto the Lord. For Ashdod 1, for Gaza 1, for Ascalon 1, for Gath 1, for Ekron 1, the golden mice, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines, belonging to the five lords, both of fortified cities and of country villages, even unto the great stone whereon they set down the ark of the Lord, which stone remained unto this day in the field of Joshua, the Beth Shemite. So what do we get from this? The old man of the land has to pay a price for taking the ark captive. The ark is our spiritual man, in whom is Christ. He is not to be subservient to the old man. When the old man rules over the spiritual man, you're under a curse. You will bring a curse on you, just as the Philistines did. They had no business taking the ark. That belonged to the spiritual man, the Israelite. They were not to be in bondage to the old man of the land. Okay, this is a revelation given to Marie Kelton. And the beast opposes Christ in us. I had an open vision during the meeting of Jesus with chains around his arms and feet that had big heavy metal balls attached to them. The balls were dragging behind him as he walked. People chained the Lord from working in their lives with their words by not agreeing with his word. Amen. Well, when our spiritual man is in bondage to our carnal man, as we just saw from this other revelation, we have Jesus in the spiritual man bound from doing his works. We can bind Christ from working in and through our lives through the chains of fear, doubt, unbelief, disobedience to his word. You know, we are told by Jesus, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And that's both a positive and a negative statement. You can bind Jesus. He could not do many mighty works in his own hometown because of their unbelief. He was bound. He was bound. And he is bound in you if you're full of unbelief. He has the power to do all things in and through you. But he is bound when you have unbelief. Amen. And Marie said, I thought of 2 Thessalonians 2 and 4. And then I added here in context 1 through 12. But 4 says this, he that opposes and exalts himself against all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sitteth in the temple of God, setting himself forth as God. Well, you know, we know the prophetic implication of this, but there is another implication of this, and that's when the old man is ruling in the temple. Right? The old man. He is a son of perdition. He's a son of destruction. Did you know the old man can't go to heaven? Flesh and blood doesn't inherit the kingdom of heaven. So I'll just read this. Now we beseech you, brethren, touching the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, to the end that you be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet be troubled either by spirit or by word or by epistle as from us, as that the day of the Lord is just at hand. Let no man beguile you in any wise, for it will not be except the falling away come first, the man of sin be revealed. You know, if you have to fall away for the man of sin in you to be revealed, God will make it happen, because he's a son of perdition. He that opposeth and exalts himself against all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he sits in the temple of God, setting himself forth as God. The old man wants to rule. He wants to be in the place of the spiritual man and in the place of God. He wants to rule. You have to let him die. Give him up to crucifixion. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know that which restraineth to the end that he may be revealed in his own season. What restrains the revealing of this son of perdition? The falling away. Yeah. When did Judas get revealed? Everybody thought he was just like them. He was going out there and doing signs and wonders and so. Well, when he fell away, everybody knew who he was, and Jesus called him the son of perdition. For the mystery of lawlessness does already work, only there is one that restraineth now, until he be taken out, literally it says, out of the midst. And that is the son of perdition. He has to come out of the midst of the body. Are we seeing that? Yes, we are. Like we've never seen it before. The Lord is removing the son of perdition, the Judases. He's moving them out of the body by the grace of God, because he is just leavened. And then shall be revealed the lawless one. There you go. That's the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming. Yet when he comes, the old man dies. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Yes, they love to use witchcraft against people. They love to do it. They don't call it that, but that's exactly what it is. Praying against people. And with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay. Yes, God sends us delusion to these people who are living after their lusts and wanting to be considered Christians and wanting to sit in the midst of the body, the temple, right, and wanting to pollute it with their presence. So he turns them over to a factious spirit. They get mad at nothing and run off. Praise God. Well, you just got sanctified. Your body just got sanctified. Amen. It's necessary. Okay, here's another one. The enemy's only power against us is distraction from the word. And this was given to Eve Brast on 4:1-21. I had a quick dream that I was standing in front of a large projection of Bible scripture in red lettering. It was bold and in italics. I was reading the scriptures and trying very hard to understand and process what I was reading. There was a voice behind me, the gentle voice of the Lord, that was helping to explain the scriptures to me. At the same time, I began to see all these greenish-yellow foam Nerf darts being shot at the scripture projection. They each had gray suction-cupped tips on the ends of them. They would hit the scripture and bounce off of it and fall to the floor all around my feet. None of the suction cups would stick to the word. And I thought to myself, how ridiculous and pathetic. Well, you know, just think about all the foolish accusations against the word. They're not going to stick, are they? No. All the foolish excuses why people disobey the word, they're just going to fall to the ground, right? It doesn't count with God, okay? And Eve said, this represents the weakness of the enemy to stand against the word of God and his promises to us. The only true weapon he has is to keep us from assimilating the word of God into our beings. Yes, the devil loves and the devil's people love to try to distract you from the word. When you start talking about the word, their eyes just glaze over. They can't handle it. But this was an effective distraction to my comprehending what I was trying to read and take in. The voice of the Lord behind me was telling me not to worry because, as I could see, the darts of the enemy were harmless and were ineffective against his word. Yes, we have people shooting witchcraft at us. The Lord has shown us in dreams. They do it all the time. And, of course, God curses those that curse us. That's what his word says. And those that lay a trap, they fall into it themselves, right? So they're making their own future by doing such things. And it doesn't hurt the people of the word. They don't know that what they've got is useless against the people who are sticking to the word. He told me to continue to persevere in reading his word and not to pay attention to the darts, because the enemy had no power against his word. Amen. Our enemy only has the power to distract us from the word if we persevere and stay focused on the word and not his ridiculous, childish darts and intrusive thoughts. We will overcome. And then I woke up. Oh, very good. Psalm 119:89-95. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word rules the earth. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They abide this day according to thine ordinances, for all things are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. We have to delight in the Word. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me, which means made me alive. Okay. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. Yes, by the way, she just had a dream about the wicked faction trying to kill her and other dreamers just yesterday. And, of course, they failed. They will fail. Thank you, God. If you haven't already listened, I would strongly encourage, Eve said, everyone to listen to David's teaching series titled Grace to Walk in the Word. It will give you all the tools you need to overcome the schemes of the enemy to destroy your lives and show us the right heart attitudes to have towards God and His Word. It is located under Archives in the 1 hour radio and TV programs, under Miscellaneous near the bottom of the page, and linked here. So we'll leave that link right there. Amen. Well, here's another short revelation. It was given to Joe Britz. The Feast of Tabernacles is at hand. During the early hours of this morning, I woke up for my quiet time. I started to read John chapter 7. And when I read verse 2, now the feast of the Jews, the Feast of Tabernacles, was at hand. I heard a very clear voice that said, you have to take very good care of this. I have had many dreams and visions, though this was my first time hearing such a clear voice. Well, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles represents the 7 years of the tribulation. In Daniel's 70th week, every day in that week was a year, the 7 years of the tribulation. And it was 7 days in a temporary tabernacle. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles is, 7 days in a temporary tabernacle that we call this body, right? And then they tear it down and go to their permanent home or tabernacle of our new body on the 8th day/year after the tribulation called the Day of the Lord. So there's 7 days of tribulation and 1 day called the Day of the Lord. It's a day of vengeance on the wicked who persecuted God's people. Isaiah 34:8 says, the Lord hath a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. So you see, it's another day that is a year. Okay? And it's for the cause of Zion, because those who persecuted Zion, God will destroy. And He's doing it now, matter of fact. I asked Father for a verse by faith at random. And let me just say something about this text that he got. This text Joe received was one we received prophetically of the fall of the Capitol on the heads of the corrupt lawmakers. Father said that he would see to it that they would not come out of the rubble. And this is also parallel to the church's apostate leaders and their fall, the faction and their fall, etc. And he said, I received Amos 9:1 in context 1 through 15. Amos 9:1-15. I saw the Lord standing beside the altar, and he said, smite the capitals. Oh. That the threshold may shake and break them in pieces on the head of all of them. And I will slay the last of them with the sword. There shall not one of them flee away. There shall not one of them escape. Yes, Lord, we thank you for taking down the deep state leaders in the Capitol. We thank you for taking down the deep state leaders in the church, who are also liars and plunderers and slanderers, just like the ones in the Capitol. Okay. He said, though they dig into Sheol, thence shall my hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. Though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and it shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them. I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. For the Lord of hosts, is he that toucheth the land, and it melteth. And all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like the river, and shall sink again like the river of Egypt. Like the Red Sea took down Pharaoh and his army, right? Who were chasing God's people. It is he that buildeth his chamber in the heavens and hath founded his vault upon the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Amen. All right. Well, Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this teaching, Lord. It exhorts us to humble ourselves to the Word of God and tells us what is going to be the end of those who do not humble themselves to the Word of God. We thank you for this teaching, Lord. We thank you for pouring forth your Spirit upon us and enabling us. We thank you that you've already done it at the cross, that we can see Jesus in the mirror and be transformed into that same image, because we reckon that we are dead and we live in him and he lives in us. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. Thank you, saints. God bless you, saints. Goodbye.